I have said my piece about the ongoing conversation or lack thereof with respect to homophobia in the LGBT community across the country following Orlando. Let us turn to someone who is a little bit more articulate than me. We're joined now in the studio by Stephen Petro, who is a local writer and a columnist now for The Washington Post, and he has posted a column this week, which is absolutely essential reading on straight washing. So thanks for joining us, first of all.
Well, thank you for having me again, Aaron. It's a pleasure. It's sad circumstances, but I did come into the studio before you finished what you were talking about, and you were so articulate and so powerful and so right. I was really moved.
Thank you. Well, I get a lot of it from you, because this article from earlier this week on straight washing is 100% correct. The extent to which people are going out of their way to talk about Orlando without mentioning who was targeted and why it happened in the first place.
Yeah, one of my sources actually used the phrase straight washing. I don't actually believe that that is in Merriam-Webster. And what he meant by that was the erasure of LGBTQ people from this story. And it really shocked me, because when I turned the news on that first Sunday morning, yes, there was a lot of confusion, but no, it was very clear that Pulse was a gay club.
Yes.
And it started with the media, who did not report that it was a gay club and that most of the victims were both gay and people of color.
Yes.
In fact, all of the victims were people of color.
Yeah.
We don't know about the sexual orientation. And that kind of got repeated on and on by the media in different ways. But I think even more insidious was the number of politicians who immediately talked about terror without any real information, but completely left out the element of hate in this, and specifically hate of LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
And for so many in the community, that has just really been so disheartening, and that is a soft word for it. It has really been enraging.
Yes.
Because some of these people we count on as our allies, some of them we don't. But when you look at what happened in Charleston a year ago, there was no mistaking who those targets were. They were African American Christians. That's why they were murdered. There is no mistaking why these people were killed. They were LGBT. They were people of color.
Yes.
The motives of the shooter are confused, but the targets, there's no confusion there.
Absolutely not. And I think, obviously, there are a lot of people, legislators and political commentators and people who are prominent in the media, who don't want to talk about this, because as soon as they do, they have to confront it in themselves.
Well, they have to confront it in themselves, and that is hard. And for many of their constituents, that becomes hard, because if you're sympathizing with these LGBTQ people that have been murdered, does that suddenly mean that you're pro everything else when they have been opposed to everything else?
Yes.
And so you saw the Republican National Party not mention LGBT in its statement. You saw Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, do that. Pete Sessions, who's a representative from Texas, even denied the fact that Pulse was a gay club. I mean, they really went to great efforts. And even now in the conversation, it keeps being sort of second fiddle. And there's really room in this conversation for both.
Yes.
You know, we don't need to exclude who the targets were at the same time that we're talking about sort of this constellation of topics that came together with these murders. I mean, certainly Islamophobia is part of it, religion, probably mental health deficits, homophobia, self-loathing. There's lots in here, but
yeah. And we can talk about guns as well. It doesn't have to do it with to the exclusion of all of these other topics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and we need to talk about guns. One thing that's encouraging to me in this time, and I was asked on a Washington Post live chat yesterday, did I really have any optimism that there would be any progress on gun legislation in this Congress or future Congresses? And I said, well, I actually do, because the very well-organized LGBT movement is now sort of stepping into this space. And, you know, we're talking about groups like the Human Rights Campaign, like the pro-advocacy group GLAAD, and they have spent decades organizing, working towards acceptance for LGBT people, and they are now going to take these same skill sets and apply them to the gun problem in America. And that is what gives me hope, because they took America, which was anti-same-sex marriage, and helped to make it acceptable.
In like 20 years.
In like, even yeah. like maybe 10
maybe
years.
10 years, yeah.
You know, and how many people have to die in this next 10 years? Yeah, that's a horrible question, but I think that we may be on the precipice of change.
Speaking with Stephen Petrick and columnist for The Washington Post, you can get his columns on WashingtonPost.com. And I'm looking up at the TV screen, or we're on mute right now, but it's C-SPAN 2 that's showing. And I think it's C-SPAN 2 that's showing because we were following the sit-in earlier where they've moved the cameras off of that. So all of the Democrats are on the floor of the House protesting for gun laws. Meanwhile, in the Senate, they're talking about the NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's Rob Portman. He's from Ohio. He gets to do that. But I feel like we should, and this is just me talking, but I feel like we should be talking about this more, and we're not.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, not to deny, you know, the Cavaliers, their place in history.
I mean, 52 years. You know, this is great.
But we could, you know, we could also talk about Rob Portman and how mm-hmm. Rob Portman has voted in the last couple of days against, mm-hmm. You know, any kind of sensible legislation to end gun violence. And again, he is a Republican. Most of them are Republicans. You know, we were talking about sort of this erasure problem, and you showed me the statement from our own Representative David Price, mm-hmm. who is historically a staunch friend and ally of the LGBT community. I was very sad to read that he did not have any mention of LGBT people in that statement. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I'm inclined to believe it was oversight, but that is not an excuse, because what happened in Orlando, we were not a third party to that.
Yeah.
We were center stage. And that is why there's so much ire about this.
Absolutely. So you've spoken with a lot of people in the LGBT community, and I know you were asking people in the LGBT community how they responded. How are people responding? I think that's going unknown and unspoken, the extent to which this is affecting so many people.
Well, now that we're kind of a week plus, I can put a little bit of a paradigm to it, I think. Mm-hmm. And it, what comes to mind is the great Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's five stages of death and dying.
Yes.
You know, which kind of starts with denial. I'm going to probably mangle the order. There's denial, there's anger, there's loss. You wind up with acceptance. I think we're in the anger part of this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of grief. I very much think that we will not have acceptance as the final stage of this. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I've been hearing is from many of my heterosexual friends and from many mainstream media reporters, where did this come from? We've just had, you know, a year ago, the Supreme Court ruled on same-sex marriage. We've been celebrating, you know, the fact that, you know, it's over. You know, LGBT people have the same rights. They're fully accepted. And that wasn't true a year ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it's become even less true as this year has unfolded with backlash prior to Orlando, you know, here in North Carolina with House Bill 2, in Mississippi, in Houston, you know, so many of those states. But the violence that we saw in Orlando is also not an anomaly.
Yes.
The numbers were larger, but a dozen trans people have been murdered in the last year. There has been violence against gay people throughout these past two decades. The New York Times reported this week that LGBT people suffer the greatest number of hate crimes of any minority group in this country. So, so it's not news, but there has been a deaf ear as we kind of have gotten caught up in the single focus of marriage equality, I think.
And this tends to be the case, I think, with social movements in general. You achieve something really significant, and that triggers a backlash. That's, I mean, there's plenty of examples of this in history.
Yeah. That triggered a backlash, but this so-called backlash predates as well.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
I've been describing it as almost there have been two arcs simultaneously. Mm-hmm. There's been the arc towards marriage equality, and there's been really kind of a continuous thread of hatred and violence.
Yes.
And now that one has been blown up so that we really can't deny it. Although people are doing a really good job of trying. Yes, through the erasure, there are attempts to.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll have the conspiracy people saying, just as they said after Sandy Hook, mm-hmm. oh, they're not even dead.
Yeah.
And don't even get me going there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Stephen Petro again, check out his columns on WashingtonPost.com. Stephen, we've got to let you go in a second, but what are the next steps? Where do we go from here? Where do allies go from here? Where do people who are not allies go from here? What ought to be the next step?
Well, I think a couple of things. gay people, LGBTQ people need to continue to speak up about what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that means speaking up about the fact that our brothers and sisters were murdered, about the need for sensible legislation to end gun violence. Mm-hmm. At the same time, our allies need to understand that this social process is not over, that full acceptance is not here. You know, I've said often in this past year, you can marry on Sunday, you can be fired on Monday. In many states, we mm-hmm. don't have federal protections for some of the most basic rights, like job protection, public accommodations,
including this one,
including here.
Yep.
And to those who don't support LGBT rights, let's try to remember that we all are part of one human family, and that those men and women who died in Orlando were parts of our families mm-hmm. and parts of your families. I would leave it there.
Check out his columns on WashingtonPost.com. Stephen Petro, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.